From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Tuesday, March 19th, and here are today's headlines. The State Department for Children and Families has abandoned a plan to build a controversial locked juvenile facility in a small town in Orange County. The project would have housed six boys, aged 12 to 17, at the site of a former bed and breakfast in Newberry. Town officials and residents strongly opposed the facility, and the project was caught in a lengthy legal battle. DFC Commissioner Chris Winters says the town's opposition was one factor in the decision to drop the project, but he says a big reason was that DCF had developed other plans.
Because of the delay, we had to pursue other options for our high-end system of care on many fronts.
DCF recently opened a temporary locked juvenile facility in Middlesex. The department is expected to announce its plans for a permanent facility early next month. Vermont hasn't had a permanent facility for youth in the criminal justice system since Woodside closed in 2020. The state shuttered the facility in Essex amid reports that staff used excessive force and unlawful restraints against kids. With Vermont facing a severe housing shortage, lawmakers enter the second half of the legislative session with hopes of clearing the way for new construction projects. Republican Governor Phil Scott recently criticized Democrats for not making more progress on the housing front, but House Speaker and Democrat Jill Krawinski disagrees. She said on Vermont Edition yesterday that she and fellow lawmakers have three bills in the works that would all address the affordable housing shortage.
The first one is a bill that creates a 10-year roadmap for affordable housing and rehabilitation of housing for Vermonters of all walks of life. The second sets housing goals and includes accountability and flood notification. And then the third is our Act 250 land use modernization bill.
Later this spring, House and Senate committees will need to reconcile some of the differing takes on reforming Act 250, Vermont's signature land use and zoning law. Could be a bit of an uptick. It could also be an inundation. Somewhere between 35 and 135,000 visitors could travel to Vermont next month in hopes of experiencing the total solar eclipse. That's the estimate from the Department of Tourism and Marketing, says Commissioner Heather Pelham. The major variable is the weather.
So if the weather is not in our favor, then we would expect that folks that, you know, might otherwise drive up on an impulse might skip, or they might go to someplace else. But if it's a beautiful sunny day, that's where we might expect visitation of 100,000 or more.
Pelham says those visitors could bring around $10 to $20 million to Vermont. That's based on an economic impact study from the state of Wyoming, which saw a total solar eclipse a few years ago, and other big recent events, like when the World Cup ski event first came to Vermont in 2018. Nearly 50 dogs removed from an animal rescue operation in northern New York will soon be ready for adoption. Last month, 48 dogs were taken from a canine gem in Beekmantown in Clinton County, and owner Hillary Davis now faces allegations of animal cruelty. Most of the pups were dangerously underfed, and some were unable to stand on their own, according to reporting by NBC5. After a stay at the Clinton County Jail, the dogs have gained weight and their health is improving. After final medical exams are completed, adoptions can begin, although the Elmore SPCA, the organization managing the adoptions, is already taking online applications. Two local college men's basketball teams are gearing up for a pair of big NCAA playoff games. The University of Vermont Catamounts secured a third straight NCAA tournament appearance with their America East Tournament win over Maine on Saturday. The Catamounts have won six of the last eight Division I America East championships, and this year, UVM completed their second tournament three-peat in program history, according to the Times Argus. Vermont earned a number 14 seed in the South Regional for the Big Dance, and they will tip off against the fourth-seeded Duke Blue Devils on Friday. And tonight, at the Ross Sports Center in Colchester, the top-seeded St. Michael's Purple Knights will play for the regional NCAA Division II championship against third-seeded Southern New Hampshire. The Knights hope to avenge a defeat against SNHU in the Northeast 10 tournament semifinals earlier this month. The St. Mike's men's team is playing in the D2 NCAA tournament for the first time since 2001. Coming up, in a collaborative teaching relationship, college students explore birding with grade school kids in Burlington. That's after this. At an elementary school in Burlington, Birding Club isn't just about seeing birds. It's about opportunities. The opportunity to get outside, to decode a bird's call, and to break down hierarchies of the student-teacher relationship. That's because the adults in Birding Club are also students from the University of Vermont, and they learn just as much as the kids. Vermont Public's Zoe McDonald introduces us to this 8-year-long collaboration and the woman behind it.
Bald eagle. Oh, yeah, it's coming back. Coming back. It's coming this way.
Right outside the doors of Flynn Elementary School, two bald eagles circle overhead. Trish O'Kane's college students and their co-explorers, fourth and fifth grade after-school students, look up to the sky.
Woo! Oh, my God! Trish, wait, how do I just...
Tell me what's happening. Everybody look!
Oh, my gosh! Come here, people!
There's about 25 elementary students here today. They're paired up with undergrads taking O'Kane's Birding to Change the World course at the University of Vermont. The pairs begin walking to Derway Island Natural Area, some branching off to play near the beach of Lake Champlain. Some students look through binoculars, identifying waterfowl, buffleheads, mergansers, golden eyes, black-backed gulls. Before every birding club, O'Kane coaches her college students to not just be teachers and mentors, but to become listeners to the birds.
Yes, that's a chickadee. Why doesn't everybody try it? You have to learn a song and dance for your midterm. Come on. So it's two notes descending, right?
And to the kids.
One of the first things that happens in their brain is that assumption of, oh, I'm the teacher, I'm the mentor, I'm going to, you know, educate this little person about birds. That quickly goes out the window. And that's great. That's exactly what I want to happen. We all have assumptions. We all have biases. How do we break them down consciously?
Tom Flanagan is superintendent of the Burlington School District.
It is challenging the kind of control and command dynamic that is pretty traditional in the world of education. This shifts that dynamic and says, how do you build relationships with students by listening to them, by having them give you work to do, and you coming back and showing them that you're going to follow through?
O'Kane has her students apply for the class and undergo background checks before they can work with the kids at Burlington's largest elementary school. Another factor that must be checked at the door, privilege.
A lot of them have a lot of experience working with children, and they also have white savior syndrome. I do not say that in a negative way. I have it too. And then they come to my class and they sign up for it thinking they're going to go help a poor kid in a poor neighborhood. Well, they're not poor kids. It's not a poor neighborhood. And actually, that kid's going to help you learn a lot of stuff about life.
She speaks from experience. Birds have taught O'Kane a lot about life. The 61-year-old is from Southern California. She was a journalist for 15 years, covering unrest in Central America and then researching hate crimes in Alabama. She was living in New Orleans in 2005 when Hurricane Katrina hit. Shortly after, she started a PhD program in environmental studies in Madison, Wisconsin.
And then I discovered the birds, and I discovered people who love the birds, and then discover there's this wetland up here that's in trouble.
The wetland in question was inside a more than 200-acre park and natural area in Madison. The park and the people and animals who used it, especially the birds, would become the center of O'Kane's dissertation and the neighborhood activism she helped steward to save the wetland. And over time, it helped her heal from the trauma of Katrina.
And I healed from it by finding another human flock and by all of us working together to save a wetland in another place.
Birds are the main characters in O'Kane's world. They're her unpaid teaching assistants, co-conspirators in turning her students onto birding, lifting their hearts, and inspiring them to create positive change in their own environments. O'Kane recently published a memoir titled Birding to Change the World, which traces this journey to healing. It also tells how O'Kane started the Co-Explorers program with nearby school children in Madison. This program would become the blueprint for what is now known as Birding Club in Burlington. On the walk from Flynn Elementary to Derway Natural Area, one of O'Kane's students helps her co-explorer identify a bird by its song.
Can you guess? He's gray, and he's got a little tuft on the top of his head.
It's a tufted titmouse.
I think it's a tufted titmouse. They say, Peter, Peter!
It's not just species identification that happens during this two-hour window each week. Kids climb trees, they look at fungi on fallen limbs, and collect cool-looking sticks. They run through the woods, screaming and relishing the freedom. Here are fourth and fifth graders, Melody, Rosie, and Skylar.
Everybody has such an amazing time at birding, and I feel like it makes us all feel just a little bit more grounded.
I think it made me more aware about climate change and how bird species are how we're affecting all the environment and how cool birds actually are.
If you have a hard day, it's really nice to get out of there and just kind of clear your mind.
O'Kane says it's the birds that will continue to lift her, and she hopes that through her book, others will let the birds lift their spirits.
For me, this joy in the birds and the children, it's our renewable, sustainable fuel for our souls. And so what is our fuel going to be for this movement to save the planet? It's got to have some joy. It's got to have a lot of love. That's what keeps me going.
And just maybe inspire them to create change in their own communities. For Vermont Public, I'm Zoe McDonald.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Liam Elder Connors, Michaela Lafrac, Lexi Krupp, and Nathaniel Wilson. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you tomorrow.